So as we commemorate today the heinous Supreme Court decision that allowed babies to be slaughtered in our land, the bishops in response have asked that today would be a day of penance and that we would offer, instead of the Feast of St. Lawrence and Anastasius, that we would offer the Mass of Peace. Why the Mass of Peace never has made any sense to me, but nonetheless, what we recognize in the Gospel reading today is that in the midst of the tribulation that the apostles were going through on Easter night, our Lord appeared to them and said to them, "Peace be with you." And that's exactly what he's going to say with us. He's in our midst in all of this. But we also recognize in the Gospel exactly where the trouble comes, and we see it in the first reading as well. In the Maccabees, as they write to the Jews who are in Egypt, as well as to the Jews who are in Jerusalem, they're praying for them that they would be able to have their hearts open, to be at peace, and to worship God. And in the Gospel, Jesus, after appearing to his disciples and extending peace, he says, "Receive the Holy Spirit, and whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven." And it is precisely in these things that we recognize where the peace is going to come from in our country. It is not from having more money. It is not from simply a lack of war. It is from a conversion of heart. It is turning to God. He is our peace. Jesus is the one who said peace to you. It wasn't something that they had on their own. It was a gift that was given to them. And so if we want the right order of things, we have to have our sins forgiven. But in order to get our sins forgiven, we have to acknowledge that they're sins. We still have lots of people in this country rejoicing in evil, thinking that all of these things are something that is good. And so there needs to be a repentance on the national level. We need to have people turn their hearts to the Lord. In the meantime, it is for those of us who do believe, like those Jewish people in the diaspora from of old, they have to have their hearts open to worship the Lord in the midst of their troubles. Again, think about that. They're writing to people who are exiled into Egypt, and they're praying that their hearts will be open to worship God. They're praying for the people in Jerusalem, where most of the people from Jerusalem had been exported. There were only a few that were remaining there, and they were only there to be able to take care of some crops. So again, the despair that the people would have been experiencing. And yet that's not what is being said. They're praying that they would have peace, and they're praying that they would have their hearts open to worship God. So for us, in the midst of all of this, it is that matter of prayer and of the worship of God, so that we can be at peace, not at peace with the sense, in the sense that everything is wonderful and it's all okay, because we know that's not the case, but to be at peace knowing that in the midst of a society that has chosen evil, that has gone very much astray, that we have the truth. And we know that we have the truth. And we can be at peace with that truth. But we also have to practice it in charity. That charity which starts with the love of God and then overflows into the love of neighbor. That charity then which is the fulfillment of the truth. So we don't fight fire with fire, but rather we fight evil with charity. That's where the peace is going to come from. But that has to come from within us first. If we're going to be able to bring the peace of the Lord into the world, it has to be in our hearts first. It's one of those things where you can hear somebody literally screaming about peace. And it's like, well, it's a good idea, but you don't have it. Nemo dat quod non habet. No one can give what he doesn't have. You can't bring peace into the world unless you have it first. And that's only going to come from union with Jesus. So the prayer and the worship of the Lord is where the peace is going to come from in our hearts. It's also what's going to bring about the conversion of all of these poor souls. And that's what they need. We aren't looking to condemn anybody. We're looking for their conversion. What glory it is going to give God when these people are converted. Now, we could look at it as a matter of justice. Look at, you know, somebody like Bernard Nathanson, who killed 75,000 babies. 75,000! And yet, when he converted, it had to be exactly what Jesus said. There was more joy in heaven over one repentant sinner than over 99 who had no need to repent. Now, I only know of one person who ever lived, other than our Lord himself, and that's his mom, who didn't have any need to repent. Everybody else did. So the Lord has not been able to find 99 people who didn't have any need to repent. But nonetheless, there had to be such great joy in heaven over that one person who had been so, so deep into the most heinous sin that we can conceive of, and to have him convert. And that's what we want for all of them. Our justice, as I said, might want to condemn them. But if we're going to do that, then we have to apply it to ourselves and say, yeah, I should be condemned too. Thankfully, God is merciful to me. Then how can we say that he shouldn't be to these other people? And yeah, you could say, but look at what they did. It's so horrible. And it is. But all we can do is look at what we've done and say, it's so horrible. Maybe it's not what those people did, but what we've done is very offensive to God. And so if God can have mercy on us, he can have mercy on them. And if we have been the recipients of his mercy, we should be at peace with him. And therefore, we will have that charity toward others, no matter how bad their sins are. But this is what our society needs, not just a few individuals who are actually doing the killing. Society as a whole needs to have a conversion, needs to turn to the Lord. So we're really at a transitional point right now, certainly with the government, but just in society in general. And you can be guaranteed the devil is not going to be liking this. So the ride's going to get rather bumpy here, so hang on. Been warning you that for a while. I thought it was going to come a month or so ago, and it didn't. I'm always wrong about time, so don't worry about that. It's coming, and it's coming soon. But that's because people are starting to wake up. People have been pushed far enough, and they're starting to say no more. But it has to come back to the most fundamental of principles. Yes, we are getting to the point of finally saying that men can't be women and women can't be men. Praise God, we figured that out. But we need to get back to the fundamentals of a human person, that a child in the womb is a human person, and a human person has dignity, and a human person has rights. And those rights and that dignity must be upheld, and it must be recognized first by us. That's what we need to start with. How can we say anything about the dignity of one another if we don't recognize the dignity of a baby in the womb? Because we're equal to them as far as dignity goes, just as we are equal to the elderly in a nursing home. They have equal dignity too. So on both ends of the spectrum and everything in between, that's what our society has to start to recognize. And if we can understand that, if we can recognize that, if we can embrace that, that's where there is hope. That's where there is peace in the Lord, because it's his truth. He's the one who created us in his own image and likeness. He's the one who gave us this dignity. It's not something we did. The babies didn't do anything to obtain that for themselves. God gave that to them. and it cannot be taken away. Oh, it's been violated horribly with those children, but it has not been taken away. And that's why I continually point out to people, there is an army of little ones, the babies who have had their lives taken in this world, but they're still alive. They're with Jesus and Mary. And while Satan has been getting strong by the power of the blood of those babies, that exact same blood of those babies is going to be used against him. He is going to be destroyed, not only by a woman, but by babies. Talk about his arrogance getting crushed. That's what's coming. But in the meantime, we need to pray for conversion, because none of us, no one else either, is being asked just to be a bystander, someone up in the cheap seats watching. We're part of this. God wants everybody to be part of it, to choose the truth, to choose the charity, to bring the peace of Christ into the world through his love. That's what all of us can be part of. That's what the world needs. We are the light, we are the salt. Then he wants us out there enlightening things. He wants us out there doing what we're supposed to do. Simply by having that peace, it's going to radiate. You don't even have to say a whole lot. If you got the peace of Christ in you, you're united with Jesus, it's going to be obvious to everybody. The devil will try to extinguish it. If we can just learn to stay at peace, that's the peace that is going to convert the world, one heart at a time. So pray for that, starting with our own selves, but then pray for these others, so that all of us together will be able to do exactly what was talked about, not only to have our sins forgiven, to be at peace, to have our hearts open, to worship God.